Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Fein. It's always a big stress to be here. Whether it's on Shabbos or whether it's during the week, to share some Divrei Torah. Okay. So I'll start with a question and see who can answer the question. And that will be a segue into our discussion. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was a Rosh Hashiva in Torah Vadas. In fact, some of our Rebbeim, the YU, originally learned in that yeshiva, including the late president, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, and others. And Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen, who also learned there, would say over that it was this time of year that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky would look at the shelf of the Shas, and if he would see the Gemara Avodah Zarah on the shelf, that would upset him a little bit. What is the meaning of what I just said?
That means no one was learning it.
Yeah, but why Gemara Avodah Zarah? Why not Bracha Shabbos Erev Sukkim?
Is there a lot of
kashrus
in Avodah Zarah?
True, but that could be any time of the year. Specifically, this time of year.
Kabbalah
Satorah. It's really in the Sefer Shabbos. Okay, but it's a good riddle. You can use it on someone.
Any kasher to Rabbi Akiva's students?
Rabbi Akiva's students is in Yavamas. Okay, we're getting there. You're all saying good things, but we're getting there. It's a good one, right? Okay, so I'll tell you. One more minute. I'll take another sip, and then... Okay, the answer is the following. If I would ask you, you have a Shas, where do you find Pirkei Avos in Shas? Which volume of the Gemara would it be? So in the Masechta Avodah Zarah, in the back of the Masechta, it's not part of the Masechta Avodah Zarah, but in the Shas, it's in that same volume. And this is the time of, so like someone said before, this was indicative of people weren't learning, but what they weren't learning was Pirkei Avos. And it's this time of year that there's a Minhag Yisrael to learn Pirkei Avos. And that's the, and really the Minhag started because Pirkei Avos has six prakim, and the six Shabbosim between Pesach and Shavuos. And really, the idea being is brought down is because Pirkei Avos is all about Midos and Derech Eretz. And the idea being, Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. And therefore, if we can accept the Torah in Shavuos, so we have to, have the measure of Derech Eretz to be learning during this time as a preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. So therefore, when Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky saw that the Masechtas Avodah Zarah was on the shelves, that means people were not learning Pirkei Avos in that time of year, which they should be, and that was the story. Pirkei Avos you can also find in a separate Mishnayos, you can also find it in the Siddur, but the real Pirkei Avos with the hardcore Mefarshim of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah is found in the Shas, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, in the back, and that's where you find it. I mean, you can get Pirkei Avos also in a Siddur, you can also get Pirkei Avos Siddur separate Mishnayos, but if you really want to do it in a a high level way, so you start learning Pirkei Avos with the Tu B'Farshim printed in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah in the back. So that's the story. So the first Mishnah, in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, even though we're holding now already the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, but the first Mishnah says Moshe Kibo Torah Misinai, and literally that means that Moshe Rabbeinu was at Har Sinai, and that's where the location where he received the Torah. But the Mefarshim explain that it also means that we know Sinai was the humble of all the low mountain, which represents Midah of Anava, not having Gaiva. And the idea being, the Mefarshim explained, that Moshe Kibbo Torah Misinai means that he was fit to be the one to accept the Torah. Why? Because he learned that Midah of Anava from Har Sinai, and therefore he was on the Madrega to accept the Torah. Now, the Pasuk, it's interesting, the only accolade that the Torah ever has for Moshe Rabbeinu, I shouldn't say the only, maybe it's connected, but what's the accolade that the Torah has for Moshe Rabbeinu? What? Anav Mikol Adam. Asher Opnei Adam. Where is that Pasuk, by the way? What? Okay. Right. What's your name again? Right, we met before.
Jared.
Right, okay. Right, Parshas Bahaloska. The beginning of Bahaloska, the end of Bahaloska?
End.
Okay, the end of Bahaloska. What was the context that they were speaking Lashon Hara, right? About Moshe Rabbeinu, that he felt that he had to divorce his wife because he was on such a high Madrega, that in order for him to be live a life of purity, and they said about him, what do you mean? Hashem speaks to us too, and we're, not divorcing our wives. Said, by Ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam. What else does the Torah say about Moshe Rabbeinu? That's a description, an accolade. He was an honor.
Moshe Avdi.
That's true. Moshe Avdi. And what else does it say?
Lokham Navi
to Moshe O. Wow, where does it say that?
Right,
in the end of. Oh, so I'm going to tell you now a unique pshat in the idea of Ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam Asher Pnei Adama. It's found in the sefer called Noam Megadim. It's a classic sefer, if you heard of it. If you've not heard of it, then it's not a classic, but it's a classic sefer. It's a Hasidic sefer. It's a very classic sefer. And if I believe in Parshas Bahaloska, you can find this interpretation of Ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam Asher Pnei Adama. Says like this, that a lot of individuals, when they think about who they are, and they think about the Ribbono Shel Olam, they're humble. Think about the Ribbono Shel Olam compared to yourself. You're limited, you're finite. The Ribbono Shel Olam creates the world. It's not even shaykh to make a comparison. It's a very humbling encounter when you think about yourself in comparison to the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, when people often think about themselves in contrast to another human being, that's a whole different story. then they say, well, maybe I'm brighter, I'm smarter, I'm richer, whatever. You know, so then the anava sometimes is easier when it kicks in more when you think about yourself in contrast to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when you think about yourself in contrast to your fellow human being, so then anava is not always so easy. Because then so often people think that, you know, I'm greater, I'm bigger, or whatever it might be. So what the Pasuk is saying about Moshe Rabbeinu is what? Ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam. It doesn't only mean that he was a bigger Anav than anyone else. It means that when he was in an interpersonal what? Relationship with another human being, he always what? He always humbled himself. He never spoke down to anyone. He never said, I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore, I can speak down to you. But rather what? Ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam, not only in his relationship with God was he the Anav, but he was Anav also in his relationship with other human beings. Ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam, not the literal translation, but it means he was a bigger Anav than other people. It means he was his anivus was portrayed also in his interpersonal relationships with other human beings. That is found in the Sefer Noam Megadim. Now, there's another Sefer called Atze Chaim. And I don't know if you ever heard that. It's also a classic, but again, classics are only classics. But now they can become classics. Who was the Atze Chaim? Any? The Atze Chaim was the Satmar Rebbe's brother. The Satmar Rebbe of Yol Teitelbaum. His brother was the Atze Chaim. And in fact, it's interesting, you know, the Atze Chaim died, I believe, in his 40s. And Yol Teitelbaum was a much older man when he passed away. But it's interesting that he left offspring, the Atze Chaim, and all the leadership of the Satmar community today is his offspring. Not who only lived in his 40s. And his brother, who was the head of the community and built the community, but the leadership of the community today is all from the Atze Chaim. So the Atze Chaim quotes this shot of the Noam Megadim and says an explanation in the Rambam. Okay? The Rambam speaks about what? About Nevuah. So the Rambam says that there was a difference between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of other prophets. Right? Now, there are a lot of differences. We're not going to go through all the differences. But one difference is that what? That Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was not only when he was asleep, but it was also when he was up during the day. Whereas the other Nevi'im's Nevuah was only while they were going to sleep, while they were sleeping. So what does that mean? How do we understand that? So the Atze Chaim says, well, if you understand the Noam Megadim, then you can understand it very well. Why? Because a Navi needs to get Nevuah, you have to have that midah of what? Of Anava. And if you don't have that midah of Anava, you're not going to be able to get Nevuah. So other Nevi'im, as great as they were, but they weren't on the same madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of his Anava. And perhaps when they were with other interpersonal relationships with other people, maybe there was some measure of something that wouldn't be necessarily called anava, but the Iker anava was when? What was when? When they were sleeping. Why? What's sleeping mean? That's because when you're sleeping, it's only you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So their Iker anava was only in that stage, and therefore they only merited Nevuah in that stage. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, what did the Noam Megadim say? So the pasuk, lo kam Ish Moshe Onov, what? We call Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam. That his Adama was even when he was awake amongst people, and therefore he merited what? He merited Nevuah even when he was awake amongst people. And that's how we... And that's something very important to realize, because people are always... You know, it's easy to be judgmental of other people, and it's easy for people to think they're greater than other people, but we don't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world, because he knows the whole story. If he can understand every individual, not only superficially, but in his whole greater context. And even though this person seems to be not so successful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows his whole story, or her whole story, and understands maybe this person is really greater than the person that what? That people think is on the higher level. Because, again, you have to, only the Ribbono Shel Olam can understand the person in its full context. And whereas another human being sees things superficially. So superficially, this person looks, person A looks very successful, and person B looks much less successful, and they judge them that way. But, you know, but the truth of the matter is not necessarily that way. So that's a Ish Moshe Onav, we call Adam Asher Al Pnei Adama, even dealing with other people, and therefore hence receiving the Nevuah, even when he was awake. Because when you're awake, that's when you're dealing with other people. Who said the very famous comment that if when you speak to another individual, you always look up to the person and not look down to the person? Who made that statement?
Ramban.
Oh, who said it? Who said the Ramban? Oh, what's your name?
Samantha.
Where does Ramban say that? He carries the Ramban, right? Very good. Okay, excellent. The Ramban says you should learn his Igaris like once a week, right? So I guess you do that. Okay?
Sure,
right. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing you should take upon yourself maybe now in this time of year. Besides learning Pirkei Avos, so you know, it's not so long. You know, maybe you could do it with a friend. Just read the Igaris Ramban. And the Ramban says that this idea that we're saying about Moshe Rabbeinu, that when you speak to somebody, always view that person above you and not below you. Never speak down to somebody. And that's the Igeres HaRamban. That's why it's interesting to note in this week's Pirkei Avos, it discusses Eizel Chacham, Alom Eid Nikol Adam. You know, Eizel Ashir, Ham Samech Bechelko, and some Rishonim explain that when the Gemara says that to be a Navi you have to be an Ashir and a Chacham and this, it doesn't mean literally, but it means you have to be an Ashir in terms of Sameach B'chelko, etc. But getting back to the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Satmar Rebbe said that really this Mishnah is telling us this idea of Anava. Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, that we said before. But what are the three things that are mentioned in the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Number one, Hevu Mesunim Badin, which means if you have to judge something, you're a judge, then you should take your time. Don't make a rash decision. Hemidu Talmidim Harbe, you should have many students. Va'asu Siyam LaTorah, and you should make a fence around the Torah.
So the Sabra Rebbe said, if you look carefully in the Mishnah, as we said before, Moshe Kibbutz Tor Misina is that idea of Anova. But also the three things mentioned in the Mishnah all are based on this idea. Because what does Avu Masuna Medim mean? Because if you have to make a judgment call, don't be rash. You know, think it through. No, don't make a rash decision. Because if somebody is overly confident and overly haughty, they'll say, oh, this is it, right away, da-da-da. So Avu Masuna Medim is also this measure of Anova. Hamudim Nidim Harbe, the Gemara says in basically the Gemara in Yevamos, that if a person is a teacher and has students, so the Gemara says in Yevamos, if you had students when you were young, don't give up. Have students when you're older also. Because you don't know which of the students are going to be the real legacy of your teachings. In other words, don't be confident in what's going to be. So always keep teaching. Always be involved. Don't say, oh, I did my share, finished. I was mamidim. Mamidim, talmidim, harbe means you had talmidim in one stage of your life, continue having it in the another stage in your life as well, because you don't know, you can't be overly confident which ones are ultimately going to be the, you know, the continuation of your legacy. For asu siyag la Torah, what does that mean? To make a fence around the Torah. How do you understand that? What does it mean to make a fence around the Torah?
Knowing one's weaknesses.
Okay, knowing one's weaknesses. Okay, what else?
Also, shows that like you can't, like you're nervous, you might mess up. Like a person would be nervous to make a mistake, so they're also humble if they realize.
Right, so what is it, what would be an example of a siyag?
There's a lot of siyagim that are made like less someone comes to do the act than actually like that.
Right, for example?
There's a lot of in the Chodesh Shabbat there's a lot of
you mean, say for example, you can't move muktzah because you know my car come to carry it in the street where there's no eruv. So they already said, so don't even do. The first Mishnah in Shas is about when is the latest time you can say Kriya Shema. So one opinion says you have from the beginning a couple of hours into the night. The other opinion says you have the whole night. And the other opinion says Chatzos, midnight. So the Gemara says, the opinion says Chatzos really holds that you can do a lot the whole night. But they're afraid if you can say, you know, you say you can do something the whole night, and then all of a sudden, you know, waiting, it's, oh, I have time, and then all of a sudden it's morning and you didn't do it. So if you know you'll do it by midnight, so then by midnight then you'll know that you will for sure will not fire. So that also, as you said, what's your name? And he also shows a measure of humility as well. It's interesting that the Gemara says, what does the Gemara say? That we know, we all know the concept of the 613 mitzvahs. Who says the 613 mitzvahs? Well, the Gemara says it. Where does the Gemara say that?
Marcos.
What?
Marcos.
Very good. Marcos, what's your name?
Rachali.
She's right. Marcos. In the end of Marcos. It says there are 613 mitzvahs. So what do we do with that 613 mitzvahs? It's like very hard. Because, like, if you were to ask me, you know what I would have said? Does it really matter how many mitzvahs there are? Well, we'll do all the mitzvahs over here that we know about, or that we'll continue learning, and right? The fact that they decided to make a number,
you know, to me it was always interesting. What was the purpose of that? So I was, you know, and it's so interesting that the Rishonim took this very seriously. I would, some want to say maybe it's, you know, not an exact, you know, it's a way of expression. Like today, YU, they're trying to collect $613 million, right? So, well, that was, you know, copies from the 613 mitzvahs. But is 613 supposed to be taken literally? So most Rishonim say yes. It's supposed to be taken. Now, so then you have to say, okay, so let's go on our journey and try to figure them out. So who was the big people who did this? Well, Rambam. Smag. Who's the Smag? What does Smag stand for? Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. Smag. Yeah, who else? The Bahag. Very good. Who else? What did you say, Ramban? Is she right?
Doesn't he just edit the Rambam's list?
Well, that's right. In other words, it's true. He never made his own list, but he, when you said, what your name is? Chevy. And your name is? So, right, so you're both right. In other words, the Ramban looked at the Rambam's list, and I guess he stroked his beard a couple of times. He said, this mitzvah doesn't belong. This mitzvah doesn't belong. And I'll add a couple, make the ones that I take out, I'll put in so we'll preserve the 613. But that's what he did. He edited the Rambam's list. Who else?
Smak.
Okay, who else? Oh, Sefer Chinuch. Who wrote the Sefer Chinuch?
We don't know.
We don't exactly know. Some say Rabbi and Akoli. Some say we don't know. What's the advantage of the Sefer Chinuch over the Rambam's list?
It goes in order of the Chumash.
It goes in order of the Chumash. So if you want to find the mitzvah, if you know where the parsha is, you look up the mitzvah. But the Rambam's list doesn't have a... You still know. So if you find the mitzvah in the Rambam, you want to remember where it is, just memorize it, because then the next time you look for it, it's going to take some time to find it. Oh, so why am I even saying this? So there's a famous story about the Smak. He quotes the story about himself. If you want to look in the Gemara, in Masechta Sota, Daf Hei, in the Cheshek Shlomo, in the back of the Gemara, you can look it up, the story. What's the story? You know the story? You know the story. The story was that he finished his whole list of the 613. And then he had a dream. And I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him in the dream and said, you know what? You missed the most important mitzvah. Very nice list you made, and the most important mitzvah you missed. What's that? The pasuk that says, "Hishomer lecha petishkach es Hashem lekecha, neram levavecha." That these, it's quite, is this pasuk in Veschan or Eikev? I think the two places, a similar version of the pasuk, but it's talking about a person who becomes wealthy. And he says, it's all me. And then he forgets. So, and Yishomer, what does Yishomer mean?
Love.
Well, you learn Makas, so you know that that's a lav. So usually, lav is low sirtza, low signal. But the Gemara says in Makas that Yishomer pen and al. Three other formulations of negative things is also considered a lav. So Yishomer lecha, be careful that you shouldn't forget God, saying that, you know, I became so successful, that it's all me, and I'm a good you know, I'm able to shamul chapetishcha es Hashem elokecha in the ram of avecha v'shachafta, etc. And he says, so he put it in. I don't know if it says which mitzvah he took out to make room for the for this mitzvah. But the Sefer Mitzvahs is a fascinating pursuit, and I'm totally amazed that the Rishonim thought that we should take it very, very literally. So therefore, if one mitzvah goes in, then you have to take one mitzvah out. It doesn't mean that it's not a mitzvah. Sometimes it may mean that it's included in with another mitzvah. Like, what's the most famous thing that the Rambam left out?
Yishuv
Eretz Yisrael, right? Especially in this generation, where people have access, Baruch Hashem, to Eretz Yisrael, and people live there, etc. So that's became the whole big discussion. So how come the Rambam left it out? So that was last week, Yom HaTzimut. So you can, but that was, well, there's another mitzvah. So, right. And the Ramban is usually the one who, as you said, edits. That was your Russian, right? Edits the Ramban and say, hey, you missed this one. So that's the question. What did the Ramban hold? Well, you know, maybe he held it, doesn't apply. But, you know, maybe it's a question. What's another famous thing that the Ramban left out? That's another famous mitzvah that the Ramban says that. Right, the Ramban is the mitzvah shacham haRambam. Right, that's his editorial comment on the.
Remembering Har Sinai.
Remember Har Sinai. Okay, what else? What's the mitzvah we do every day? What? Tefillah. Right, tefillah is a whole right discussion, but the Rambam puts in. Right. But what's someone that the Rambam? Birkas HaTorah. Excellent. What's your name again? Birkas HaTorah. That when we. Every morning we're supposed to make a Birkas HaTorah. And the Rambam left that out. And it's brought down that even women are chayav in Birkas HaTorah. It's a question whether that means we make a Shalom Mitzvah Sotzivanu or Sotzivanu Torah, the Harevna. But the equal one that's probably the Raisa it's a question whether there are two or three. If you say Viha Revna, it's together, first two is really one, and then Asher B'Harbanim. But you should make sure to say that every day, you know, even if you're in a rush, you say Birkas HaTorah, because that's Ramban says that's a mitzvah in the Torah. That you should. What's the pasuk for that mitzvah? Where does it say that? There's a Rambam left it out, but the Ramban says no, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. Where is that mitzvah? Bava? Sorry. Hey. Bava?
Kishem Hashem Ekra?
Havu Velokeinu. That when you call out Hashem's name, you should give praise. And so the Mefarshim explain that all, like the Ramban says, all the words of the Torah is like Hashem's name. So whenever you say, you're going to say Divrei Torah, that's Hashem's name, you should praise Hashem beforehand and say Birkas HaTorah. And where is that person? Hazina. And I'll tell you a question. What's the Tziv's question on that? Hazina, right? So what's problematic about that?
It's part of the Shira,
right?
It's towards the end.
So what's the point?
Does it make a difference?
No, what Kala, I think, it means to say is, I don't understand. When do we make Brichas HaTorah? When you wake up in the morning, you make Brichas HaTorah. And then you could learn. Right? You're really not supposed to learn without making Brichas HaTorah. So wouldn't it be much more apropos if Brichas HaTorah would have been a Parshas? What? Which one?
Yisrael.
Yeah. Because that's what the Torah was given. In Yisrael. So wouldn't that have that made much more, right? That it would be in Parshas Yisrael, not in Parshas Hazinu. Hazinu is like at the end. It's like when you go to sleep. Who makes the Birchas Torah at the end of the day when they go to sleep? You make it, right? So the Tziv writes, you want to look up the Tziv. The Tziv became a very popular sefer in this generation. Because he has original ideas, people, the modern person in this generation is attracted to the thought of the Tziv. Because it's a lot of original ideas. You can see why this generation is. So where you can look it up, so don't look it up in Hazinu, or this person. That's where you think it, you should look it up, right? It's really in Vayelech. Meaning, this thing that I'm going to tell you is in Vayelech on Atakis Ulochem Asashir Azos. That's where he has this thing that I'm going to tell you. In other words, so he asks, what took so long? Why are we having Hazinu? Why are we having Brichas HaTorah and Hazinu? Should we? So he says, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is making the Brichas HaTorah. And you know what the Zohar says about Moshe Rabbeinu? Three words. He says a little bit different language, but I'll translate it into the Hebrew. Three words. Any idea what the three words that the Zohar says about Moshe Rabbeinu? Three words. Shechina, Medaberes, the four words. Mitoch, Grono. Shechina, Medaberes, Mitoch, Grono. Means that when Moshe Rabbeinu talked to the Jewish people and gave them the mitzvahs, it wasn't him speaking. The Shechina was projected through his voice. What does that mean? So it means that so whenever Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking, it was really Hashem speaking. Shechina medaberes mitoch grono. But obviously Hashem would not have done it had Moshe Rabbeinu not reached on his own the high madrega. You know, because then you could say, what's the greatest of Moshe Rabbeinu? No, like we said, Moshe Rabbeinu was the great Adam, Moshe Rabbeinu was the great person. So he merited to get the Shechina. Now most people don't have the Shechina medaberes mitoch grono. So what says in the Tziv, that at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, when he was no longer on, you know, when he, like the, you know, like he was at the end, so then he didn't have that madrega. He still was the high madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, but he didn't have the Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono. Because you're not going to make a Brichas HaTorah on a nace. Brichas HaTorah means your own learning, human input, human. But it was a Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono. There's no what? There's no bracha for that, for the nace. After the end of his life, when he didn't have the nace anymore, then what? Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Gadol Elokeinu. And that shows the idea of what? That thing that is worthy to make a bracha on is the only things that you do with your own input. Because something that you do with your own input, then what? That's much more valuable. Yeah.
Moshe was talking to Bnei Yisrael, so why wouldn't he tell them that this was a mitzvah, even if it wasn't something that he himself would be making a bracha on?
No, so he told them all the mitzvahs throughout the Torah. But he didn't make a Brichas HaTorah on it. Because it wasn't him really speaking. It was Hashem speaking through his voice. That's called Shechina Medaberes. That's a nace to have that happen. Where else do we have the concept of Shekhinah Medaber Svitah Corona. Wow, who said it? Wow. Okay, yeah, wow. So what she says is very interesting. Okay, Bilam is one thing I was going to speak about it, then I forgot to speak about it. But Bilam? Why, how do you know Bilam?
Because Hashem took hold, like, he wasn't trying to say the
verse. How do you know Bilam? How do you know that Bilam was, what does the pasuk say?
Matovu,
wow. What does it say? You know what it says? It says... What?
I don't remember the exact word, but isn't it something about the lines of that who can curse when Hashem is it doesn't want them to be cursed?
Okay, you're all saying good things.
I think it's also what the sticker literally says, that Hashem puts the question
on. Okay, but listen carefully. What does Chazal say in the Sifrei? What's the Sifrei? Sifrei is what? Medrash on... The Shifrei is the Medrash on Mechilta. Mechilta is Shmos. Vayikra is Sifra. Hamidra Dvarim is the Sifrei. So in the Pasuk, Lokom Novi Bisrael, Kemosha Od, you know what the Sifrei says? Lokom Novi Bisrael, Aval Be'umas Ha'olam, come. And who's that? Bilam. That requires explanation. So maybe we'll get to that, since you brought it up. But what you're saying is that Bilam was also, that maybe that shot in that Chazal, that Bilam also had the Madrega Shechinah Medaberes Mitav Gronu. And that's what it means. There's no Novi in the Jewish people like Moshe Rabbeinu, but there was what? By the Goyim. Hopefully I have time, I'll tell you about that in a second. But where else Shechinah Medaberes Mitav Gronu? Well? And this is said over by the Shemi Shmuel, because what does it say by Shir Sayam? You see, the Chazal tells in Yevamos that all the other Nevi'im, the Nevu wasn't as clear. It was as Baklaria She'ena Meira, and Moshe Rabbeinu was as Baklaria Meira. That's why by Moshe Rabbeinu it says what? Ze Hadover. Ze. Because that was the Shechinah with the Medaberes Mitav Gronu. Where is it? What parsha is Zeh Hadover? What? Zeh. Zeh. And what does it say in the Shira? Zeh Keli Vavei. Zeh means you can point. It's like a Shechinah with the Medaberes Mitav Gronu. And that's what the Shemi Shmuel explains. You know what Chazal say? That even the ubrim shebemei imam sends shira, even the fetus in the woman, in the mother's womb, sends shira sayam. So how could that be? But if you say that shechinah medaberes mitav gronu, so it was a miracle. However, everyone else said shira. So then there's no difference between a human being, a grown up, and a fetus, because it was all shechinah medaberes mitav gronu. So I'm going to ask you one question, and then maybe I'll answer her the Bilam thing. But so then, what's the whole greatness of the Shir Sayam? Okay, you hear the question? It was like Hashem singing Shir to Himself. So what's the greatness?
They were on the Madrega.
So you could say they were on the Madrega, but the Ubrim, they were on the Madrega too.
The
their mother's wrong.
His mother's wrong. Okay, well, we're going to get to that. But let me just say over one thing. What does it mean? The Chazal say, "Well, come not in Israel to Moshe," but that's only Israel. But with Umas Olam, there was a Navi, right? Moshe. Bilam, we call Bilam HaRasha. You know? How can you even begin to compare? So, Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin was the Rav of Brisk, but Mariel Diskin, Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin, has the father. This originally I heard from Rav Yeshua, and Rav Yeshua said over, but this is from Mariel Diskin. He says like this: what is the Shechina that Rav Yeshua means that it was exact, right? Hashem is speaking. All the Nevi'im, it wasn't the Navi speaking, it wasn't Hashem speaking. The Navi saw an image of Mara, and they had to interpret the Mara. So says the Yeshua Leib, Moshe Rabbeinu is a high madrega, so he had a lot of Shechina v'Dabaras b'Tav Grona. But you know what? Bilam also had Shechina v'Dabaras b'Tav Grona. Why? So the Rabbi Shulman said over the Mariel Diskin, is because when it came to Bilam, Hashem didn't trust Bilam that he was going to interpret it correctly. So if he would have to leave the Nebuah up to his interpretation, then he didn't trust that he was going to do it. So therefore he had to give it to him like he gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu. But not because of greatness, because of his inferiority. Moshe Rabbeinu got it because of his greatness. Bilam got it because of his inferiority. Hashem didn't trust him. That's the idea. Okay, last thing. What was the greatness of the Shira? What was the greatness of the Shira? So the Shem Yeshua asked this question. Was the Shem Yeshua was the one who said that Shira was the Shechina v'Dabaras b'Tav Grona of all of Klal Yisrael? That's why even the So what's the greatness? So he says, how does the Shira begin? Az Yashir Moshe. How does Rashi interpret that? Well, Allah Belivo Lomar Shira. Yashir means the future. So what do you mean the future? Because first, you have to think about it, and then you do it. But isn't that strange? Don't anything you do, I hope you think about first, and then you do it. So why only by the Shira does the Torah say, Az Yashir, and Rashi interprets, means Allah Belivo Lomar Shira. Anytime you did anything, you should say, Allah Belivo to do this. But the answer is, says the Shem Yishmuel, that Klal Yisrael didn't do anything by the Shira. So what's the greatness of Klal Yisrael? You know what the greatness is? All the Belivim, that they had a Ratzon to do it. They had that desire. Once they had desire, then Hashem put it in the script, into their mouths. But the fact that they had the Ratzon, the will, that was what, and that's why the Torah speaks about all the Belivim Lomar Shira. And that's a tremendous thing. The Ratzon of a person is a very valuable thing. Okay, so just to conclude, you know, we're in this period of time where we're going from Pesach to Shavuos, and it's You know what the Abdur Rav said? He said, you know, Yotzros for Parshas HaChodesh, it says the month of Nisan is what? Is the month Asha Yeshuos Makifos, which literally means we're surrounded by what? Miracles. Yeshuos Makifos. But the Abdur Rav, Avraham Yeshua Heschel, the Rav Abta, O of Yisrael, that was the name of his Sefer. This thing I'm going to tell you now is not in the regular Sefer, it's in a different Sefer of O of Yisrael. He says, but I have another interpretation of Makifos. You know what the Mishnah, you know what Hakafa means? Hakafa means to surround, but what else does Hakafa mean? Hakafat Hachanut. You know what that means? What it means to surround the store? That, you know what it means?
I just learned that it's here, so I should. But
well,
it's a tab that you have on the store. It's like a
meaning when you buy on credit. That's the bar b'hakafa. So in this generation where, you know, a lot of people don't even carry cash around anymore. They just have their credit cards. They do everything on credit. So he says, everything we got on Pesach, we didn't deserve it. The verse says, Chazal say we were the lowest madrigas of the, right? So Hashem took us out because if we would stay any longer, we would be finished and we wouldn't be able to come out. So Shavuos, these 7 weeks at a time that now we're earning it. So Yeshuas Makifos, but now we have to pay back. You know, it's like it's very easy to spend with your credit card, but then when you get the credit card bill, so you give it to your parents so then it becomes, that's the hard part. So this is the part of the year that we're refining ourselves. We're at Anova, Amidos, that's why it's the time that we have to learn Pirkei Avos. Because Pirkei Avos, I told you should learn the Geras Ramban, it's also a good thing to learn this time of year, because we have to refine ourselves as we go to receive the Torah on Shavuos. So I thank everyone, I thank Rabbi Fein for inviting me. You know, last week he called me up, Rabbi Fein, someone couldn't come. So I said, you know, they had a scholar for Rabbi Braunschweigel, Tzatzal, who was a Rebbe for many years. I said, I can't miss that. But I said to him, but if you ever have another case where someone can't come, I'll come. And sure enough, he calls me up. So I said, okay, I committed. I said, I'm going to do it. So here I am. So thank you all for coming. You should all have a good zummer. You should have a good summer. You should have a good yontif for Shavuos, a Kabbalah Satorah. And you should all continue to grow in every way possible and to continue your learning, your Yerushamayim, your Chesed, in all areas. Thank you for that.
Tremendous thank you to Rabbi Simon, as always. I'm just quick.